Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hawkeye Nation, you're in for one. And I say that every time. But this one is good. First podcast of the year, 2020. Happy New Year, everybody. This is an hour long. More than. We gave you all that you can handle and more for this one. Gets a little bit controversial. Don't hate us. Buckle up. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 77 of the podcast, and let me be about the 1,000th person to tell each and every one of you, Happy New Year's. We appreciate you guys tuning into us, and we hope that we're going to have a whole lot of fun in 2020 with the podcast, and we hope that it keeps growing, and all you guys continue to enjoy taking this ride with us. I think this is going to be a pretty fun episode. Kluver said this morning he's feeling like Stephen A. Smith because he's about to get controversial, which I like because I'm pretty much the only one who ever says anything controversial except for Kevin. So, Kluver, really, you're a square. But today you're not going to be a square, and hopefully you're going to call somebody out and make some funny jokes and maybe say the F-bomb a couple times because that one mom didn't like the F-bomb. I got shot down by a mom last night at the bar, so Happy New Year's to me. Let's go.
Wow. Going after the moms, huh?
Yeah, you know, she was a pretty fine-looking older woman, but, you know, she just...
How do you know she was a mom?
She had an old bullet home, and, you know, just... He was in bed. I don't know. I was seeing if she wanted some of the young calf, but she didn't. So, just going to chalk that one up to a learning experience and, you know, swing the bat the next time.
Yeah, how do you know she was a mom, and how old are we talking
about? I don't know that she was a mom, but I know that she was... old enough that if my mom saw her walking in the door, she would have many questions.
Okay.
Drake, I think if you bring any female home to your mom, she's going to have a lot of questions.
My mom has a lot of questions.
I think just every day you wake up, Drake, everybody in your life has a lot of questions.
That's true. I talk to you, you know, almost every day, and I have a lot of questions.
There's so many questions.
So many questions.
But here on the podcast, man, I'm here to answer questions, you know, one by one almost.
We are answering the questions as we go along. 77, as you said. Happy New Year, everybody. Shocker, in bed by 9:30 last night. Congrats.
I asked my mom after dinner. We ate dinner maybe around 6:30 or 7. I asked her if she wanted to come hang out in the house with me and my friends because she was in her little apartment. And she said she was tucked in for the night at 7:30 p. So Mama and Kluve were on the same schedule.
Well, and here's the deal. Lauren and I, we, on this break that we've had, Lauren is a school teacher. I don't think I've mentioned that on the podcast. She teaches school in Des Moines. And so she's been on Christmas break. And I've had work off and got sick. And so I've been on a decent break where I haven't worked in a while. And so we got back into prison break. We were watching some Prison Break. I asked you, Kevin, yesterday about House of Cards because I was trying to determine my top 5, top 10 TV shows of all time. Prison Break, it's a top fiver for me.
Top fiver, huh?
Especially, we just got into season 5, so they took like a 7-year hiatus or like a 10-year hiatus on making this show. Season 5 brought it back hard. Big time fan.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are a fan of that show. I just never had time to edit to the list, man. There's a lot of good shows out there. I feel like I haven't seen yet.
Lots of good shows. But nonetheless, we were basically binging that for the last 2 days. Drake, it sounded like, you know, you're usually, like we said the other day, you're up at all hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
You said first of all, you're wearing a sweatshirt that says Antisocial Social Club.
Yeah, so if you know me, you know me pretty well. I'm a super antisocial person unless you know me. Then if we know each other and we're cool, then I'm just the biggest asshole of all time because I'll say whatever, whenever. But if we don't know each other, I'm probably not talking to you. So like if you put a bunch of people who are antisocial in the same place, I would be part of that group and we could form our own social club. And so it's the Antisocial Social Club.
Okay. Kevin, did you celebrate and ring in the new year last night?
Oh, I sure did.
What was the drink of choice?
Water. I was at home, but I did stay up till midnight.
Oh, okay. Good for you. So there was no mom?
No, I didn't go out to downtown Iowa City to find a single mother like Drake did.
And nothing wrong with this. Yeah, we support the single moms, like Theo Von's podcast. We love the single moms. If there's single moms out there.
My best friend, Rick, is sitting next to me. I got like a group of best friends, but, you know, he makes the cut for sure. And he's sitting next to me. And his 3 things in life that he's thankful for are Bush Light, single moms, and loose women. At the dinner table, that's how he says grace. Lord, I'm thankful for Bush Light, single moms, and loose women. Amen.
All right. Well,
all right. Maybe we'll...
Sounds like another person I'd have a lot of questions.
Happy New Year's, folks. We hope you're having a good one so far. Sorry your year started off so shitty by listening to this podcast.
Yeah, this is a tough one. God damn it, that threw me off. I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, Kevin. I know what I was going to say. Any single moms out there that would like to, you know, get to know Drake or Kevin, both single guys, we asked the question, one of the fans did, if they were worried about not finding a female in their prime a couple weeks ago. They both said that they weren't worried, so.
And listen, the only stipulation that you have to have is that you have a lot of money because I'm a gold digger from a male's perspective. And if I'm going to hang out with a single mom, I want her to be a rich single mom. So
not opposed to having a sugar mama. I will second that.
Kevin, your full grout fit today. You look like you're about to head up to the complex.
Oh boys, man, this is bringing back memories from 2014. We're going to go to the complex for our second practice of bull prep. That's what it feels like right now.
That makes me want to puke.
It's the complex, ain't it, Kevin?
It's the complex. So you want to explain that to the people?
I'll explain real quick. So there's a dress code at the Iowa football facility. It's basically, you've all seen it. If you've seen the guys walking around, you've got to see it. If you follow anybody on social media or see them in pictures, you'll see the gray sweats. They still literally draw the numbers on the front with Sharpie. we get the same gray sweatsuit that we've gotten since Greg Morris was probably alive in the 1300s and passing these out. and there was black Sharpies back then. He was writing your locker number on it. So you wear it, it does not matter also if it's 98 degrees and 100% humidity or if it's freezing cold, you're wearing your gray sweatsuit. And it's just a gray sweatshirt with matching gray sweats. And the complex is more of a syndrome where you spend so much time at the Iowa football facility, Kara Allish.
Was that
a sneeze, Kluver? Do I need to bless you or?
Yeah.
Whenever you're not at the complex, you feel like you should be at the complex.
Yeah. When you're not at the football facility, something's wrong and you should probably get to the football facility. You're probably missing something. So
yeah. Yeah. So I always did my homework there because I didn't want to like bring work home with me, if that makes any sense. Like I did like all my homework, all my studying at the complex. Yeah. That's where I did. I did in the players lounge. So yeah. I spent like, shit you not, 12 hours a day at the complex. So when I was not at the complex, I felt like I should have been at the complex for something.
Felt like you probably should have
been. I should have been either working out, practicing, watching film, studying, or in the trainer's room or doing something, but I was probably not supposed to be home. That's just what it felt like.
In fact, at one point we had a pretty good idea to in the next Iowa football facility. It would not surprise me if this actually happened, is they start building out like some very simple dorm room aspects to football facilities as they continue to advance and advance, almost like a what would you call it, like in the military they call it
a barrack.
Yeah, they almost like build out a barrack at the Iowa football facility, so just in case guys who are staying late doing homework just want to crash the...
I've considered spending a few nights in the complex before. I've walked out of there like 2 a.m. one time, and yeah, like I got to be back at like 8 a.m. the next morning. It's like,
might as well just sleep.
Do I just sleep here? Or like, yeah.
There were several coaches who slept in their office. I know that Coach Reed didn't sleep at all. that guy, I'm pretty sure, did live at the complex. There were several nights on the anatomy semesters where we were there till 1:30, cramming in a nice little 12-hour session.
Granted, we took like 3 hours of pool breaks.
A lot of pool breaks. Anyway, we'll get into this. 10 minutes in here. Good to catch up. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy and thankful for the Wash Up Walk-Ons Nation. We cut the podcast off on Sunday, Monday's episode. Glad you guys liked that, by the way. A lot of you said that the first 25 minutes of us bullshitting, which we basically just did again for the first 11 minutes of this, a lot of you like that, so... Maybe there'll be more as long as it's good content. Got some more good content for you. We cut it off the other day as we were just about to get into the semifinal CFP games that happened. The LSU Tigers took on the Oklahoma Sooners in the early game last Saturday. A game that looked like a exhibition game between a Division I program and a Division II program. And then in the late game, Clemson took on the Ohio State for a much more competitive match, a much better watch. And our very own Drake Kulik was at that second game. Let's start with the first game. Initial thoughts, can anyone stop the train that is Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers?
After seeing how much trouble that Justin Fields and the boys gave him, I personally think that Ohio State got a little bit robbed. I don't know if they were necessarily the better team, but I think that they won the majority of the game. And I don't think either one of those teams was the LSU caliber. So I think that they're probably going to run away with it. Maybe not run away with it, but I think that it's going to be LSU.
So my take on this is that Oklahoma was never even should have been in the college football playoff. Oklahoma was, I mean, and everyone knew it, that there was the three really good teams, and then, you know, Oklahoma just was not on their tier.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, they beat up on a inferior opponent, but Oklahoma's still a good team, and they've always struggled with defense, though. This is by far going to be the toughest test that LSU has ever faced. So I don't think it'd be a blow up by any means, but my opinion is that LSU will probably win this game because I feel like they've just got too much momentum with them. I feel like those guys are just having too much fun. Coach O is just going after it.
Hey, go Tigers.
Hey, go Tigers.
Did you see the Buffalo Bills? He's like, go Bills, go Tigers.
Yeah, I did see that. But, yeah, this is going to be the toughest game LSU has ever played. You know, and it's hard to bet against a team that's won 27 in a row in Clemson. I think it's going to be a good game. It's a 6-point spread, which I thought was a little bit high. I mean.
Ooh, I don't know. I was just going to ask if you knew the spread. Obviously, you do. Dumb question.
Dumb question.
Yeah. Six points, huh?
6 points. You know, I'm a little torn on that. At one point, you know, Drake was right. Ohio State was the better team.
Yeah.
Last week. However, they didn't capitalize on a bunch of opportunities. They kicked 3 field goals in the first half when they're down in the red zone, which any one of those is a touchdown. You know, the game's like 20 to nothing at one point then instead of 16 to nothing. Yeah, I mean, then they made some mistakes later turning over the ball. But I do think Ohio State was the better team. Clemson just was able to come back and make some plays. Granted, they did get some calls that went their way. Can we talk about the targeting call real quick?
Ooh, football is becoming something else, huh?
So I understand targeting if it's against like a completely defenseless guy going up for a ball and he just gets rocked in the face.
Makes total sense.
I understand it if it's a quarterback who's like still in drop back pass mode a little bit. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. He saw the guy coming like a mile away and is bracing for the hit. Mm-hmm. Like almost, and he's like stepping up in the pocket, like bracing for the hit. He knows it's coming and like ducks into the guy. One, he's not a defenseless player at that point. So helmet to helmet shouldn't even be a thing. Two, what the hell do you want the defender to do?
There's nothing you can do.
When I see them start calling targeting calls on like running backs who are just running out in open space and it's a helmet to helmet, you have the like best athletes in the world running at full speed. Like, do you have
shit happens, man?
Yeah. Like,
well, here's the thing. Do
you have any idea how hard it is to like adjust yourself in space and at those speeds?
It's impossible.
It's impossible when like, imagine how hard it is to make an open field tackle. That's just putting your body on a whole nother body. You want us to refrain from hitting this tiny little area on his head. Like if that's where you're going, that's where you're going.
Here's my thing is you wear a helmet for a reason. Like we wear pads and helmets for a reason is because when you run your fucking body into each other, you're going to get a little incidental contact. All right. When you go body to body, all right, and when you do it correctly, which is how football has been taught for years and years to go. I mean, when we do the tackling drill, it's nut to nut. Yeah, it's hips to hips. You run. I mean, literally the coach's coaching point is run your dick through his dick. That's the coaching point. You run hips through hips. You run up through the guy. You're body to body. You wear a helmet because incidentally your head is going to, you know, contact with his head.
When I was in high school, my defensive coordinator and linebacker coach used to have a saying that he loved, and it was knee benders are jaw breakers. He was literally teaching us to go from low to high, finishing through the guy's jaw and trying to break it.
If you want to be super, super technical about it, you want to put your eyes on his chin.
On his, yeah, on right his, under, yeah.
Hit him with your face mask on your.
So that's we're getting taught to target every single play. So
I mean, that's basically just
no. We're getting taught to tackle correctly, and they're changing it so that correct tackles are now targeting. It's tough.
Ohio State got super super fucked a couple times because
like and he the, wasn't the even fumble. Like, he didn't even come in, like, spearing with him or coming in with, like, the crown of his helmet. He just came in and he did that exactly that. He would have hit him square in the chest, and then, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he ducks a little bit, and he puts his head down like an idiot.
No malicious intent whatsoever.
And
you can tell when you watch a replay, you can tell, did a guy come in and is he trying to hurt this guy? Is he being a dumbass or is he just playing football?
Right.
And trying to tackle
100%.
And here's the problem.
And I want to be clear about this. I had money on Clemson in this game. I told you guys that.
You did.
And
you said you were cheering for Ohio State, but you put your money on Clemson, which put you in a rough spot.
No. So I put my money on Clemson, and then in the middle of the game, like, Ohio State gets fucked over so badly on that call. I'm like, dude, like, they deserve to win this game. I felt almost bad about winning the bet. But, you know, it was 4th and 17, and it was 16-0 at that point. They would have had to punt. They get that bullshit targeting call. They end up going to score a touchdown. It's 16-17 or 16-7 at half instead of 16-0 or even better at half for Ohio State. So, I mean, that was a huge, huge play in the game. Not to mention they lose one of their best defenders. Can we talk about why the hell you get ejected from the game for this?
Oh, dude, I saw a tweet that made so much sense.
I retweeted it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was, how on earth are we – I don't know. It wasn't the exact wording. You can find it as I talk about
I'll read it.
It was, how do we eject people for a whole half of a game? It's 9% of your season.
Not to mention, if it's in the second half of the next fucking week? Are you kidding me?
It's equivalent to, and the guy put it in
so,
the tweet.
Yeah, imagine this. An NBA player going for a block, accidentally hitting the head of the opposing player, gets suspended for 7 games. An MLB second baseman goes for a tag, makes contact on the head, ejected for 15 games. That's literally the equivalent of getting ejected for our game.
I agree.
It's fucking horseshit.
I almost don't agree, actually. As I just said that and it came out of my mouth, my opinion is almost, and this would be way too hard because now we're getting even more subjective. If there's malicious intent, you should definitely be.
So, like, the guy in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Who just took a cheap shot at a guy who the ball is nowhere near him. Absolutely. Yep.
I agree. You should be out for maybe the rest of the half you're in. Or
just the rest of the game you're in, sure.
One quarter or something. But if it's accidental, man, oh, that's changed so many games.
A 15-yard penalty, automatic first down, and Ohio State loses one of their best defenders.
And not only that, not even the effect to the game, but that guy. Like, you lose that much of your – you lose
– 9% of your season.
That's tough. That's so tough.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio State still had plenty of opportunities to win the game, but, you know, that call just pissed me off because I've seen it so much this year. And what they're doing to our game is absolutely criminal. It's a dangerous game. It was never supposed to be a safe game. That's like we grew up hearing about concussions and brain injuries. Like, okay, yeah, it's a fun game. I like fucking playing it. Stop fucking messing with my game.
I completely agree, man. Stop messing with the game. Some of us are headhunters, dude. Sometimes you fucking get a bad egg and you run into the guy that's a headhunter, and so be it, dude. We signed waivers. People signed NLIs. Dudes get scholarship checks for this shit. We're the same age. We all been playing this game the same amount of time. We all been playing it the same way. Like, stop fucking with our game, man. If there's a headhunter out there, sometimes you get got.
My final thought is, with how much the rule has changed and how much it affects the game, guys know that when a guy accelerates, puts his foot in the ground, accelerates, and he sees an opening, similar to how Tristan Wirfs saw that meat laying out in front of him on that block for Tracy on the touchdown, when a defender sees a ball carrier out in the flat or a slot receiver not looking his way and he goes to tackle, in his head, more and more now, the thought becomes, I have to adjust myself in everything I know and everything I was taught, and what's going to happen is the tacklers are going to get hurt. Someone is going to get hurt, because when you don't play 100%, when you pull up, when you do something to alter what you've been taught and the fundamentals that you know, which have been mostly safe, it's why we have the helmets, why we have the pads, that is when you get hurt, that's when you get injuries. And I don't like it. That's my final word on it.
Yeah, that, you know, defenders got to start going low. You're going to start seeing more and more knees get blown out.
Yep.
Anyway, So we kind of got off topic, going back to the games. LSU's a really good football team. I don't know if Clemson can stop them, but I do think they'll give them their best game of the year.
At 6 points,
dude, it's a lot of points for a championship game. I'm leaning towards taking Clemson in the points, but I do not think that LSU loses this football game.
I am on the other side. I think 6 points is not enough. I think LSU wins this game by 10 points, and the two receivers, number one and number two for LSU, are insane.
They are. I mean, but you got to remember now, Clemson's got some dudes.
Oh, now, listen here. All right. Clemson, they got some dudes. All right. Now, LSU's got some dudes, too. All right. Both teams got dudes. Whose dudes want to be a dog?
There's no shortage of dogs in this game.
There's so many dogs in this game.
Yeah, I think this is probably going to be the best defense that LSU has played so far. Maybe Auburn. I mean, Auburn held them to, I think, 19 points or something, too.
I have an interesting topic I want to bring up.
Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier how Oklahoma, obviously on a whole different level, out of all the teams that were left out of the college football playoff, and this is going to come back to the Alabama Crimson Tide, who was the best option to actually compete with LSU? It had to have been Alabama, right? Or Auburn?
No, I think, you know, it was apparent all year that those three teams were by and far the best three teams in college football.
I fully understand.
So I don't know if any fourth team even makes a good argument for they could have been national champions this year.
Okay.
Who is the next best team?
It's tough to say. Did you see Utah last night?
Utah got smoked. Yeah,
absolutely worked by Texas. Utah got absolutely
embarrassed.
They got embarrassed and
by a 7-5 Big 12 team. They were number 11 in the country.
Now, granted, Sam Ellinger
only losses to USC and Oregon.
Utah got exposed at the end of the season, and
yeah,
I
they did. Those last two games, kind of like the 2015 Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I was gonna tweet 2015 Hawkeyes. We understand 2019 Utah, but Utah did a lot worse than we did. I mean, they got beat at the end of the season to ruin their hopes for the CFP, and then playing a 6-7-5 Texas team, basically get beat as bad as we did against Stanford. So, yeah, that's all I got to say. I think LSU wins this game by 10 points against Clemson. Trevor Lawrence did impress. I haven't watched much of Clemson this year. Watching him outrun the Ohio State defense was impressive on
one
long run.
In the building, that place was an absolute electric factory.
Drake, yeah, we haven't had a lot of the DK today. Give us your insider report on that game out in Phoenix.
I was thinking the whole time that it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever been to, just because like everything about it was so insane. The environment, that first of all, there wasn't an empty seat, obviously, for good reason. It had just so happened to be one of the games of the past decade. It was amazing. So that made it even better. The pregame was so sick. I texted you guys that I had a story about Ohio State's pregame. I thought they were winning it for sure because they had this thing they do in pregame where they take all of the linemen and they line them up in a three-point stance like they're going to run a 55 across the goal line. And then they have the rest of the team standing on like the 30 or the 40. And they're like in attack mode, like Spartans back in the day. They're just like a bunch of dudes with their shields. And then a whistle blows and both sides just sprint at each other and start a huge mosh. And when that happened, I thought Ohio State had it in the bag. I was like, dude, you can't lose when this is your pregame. And then the American flag, they had a 100-yard American flag and they had a bunch of people underneath it. And then one of the voice winners was singing the national anthem. So seeing that 100-yard flag rippling for the whole time and having the national anthem be like super, super good, that was pretty insane too.
Yeah, dude, I was super jealous. I tweeted out that I couldn't wait for that game when it was announced, because that was a matchup I really did want to see. And then the winner of that game versus LSU was pretty much the matchups that I wanted to see. And it didn't disappoint. It was an awesome football game to watch. It was those two teams. They beat the shit out of each other too. So that's one thing that LSU's got on them, is that those two teams just went through a fucking dog fight.
Yeah. A war. Watching dogs. An absolute
war. Absolute war. So, I mean, it was obvious that every one of them wanted the one seed, because about as close to a bye as you're ever going to get in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And I was just looking through like the rankings, like who could have been a competitive fourth team.
Right.
I don't know, man. Auburn gave LSU the best game of their year. They only beat them by three. I mean, in reality, LSU kind of handled Alabama. They just kind of came back on them and scored some points in garbage time. Right. Dude, there really wasn't. I mean, Georgia's at five. No. Wisconsin at six wouldn't have competed. No. Baylor at seven. No. I don't know who you put in it for.
The Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yep, the Iowa Football Hawks, with Brian Ferentz calling a perfect first half, and our bookends eating. We're winning that game like seven out of 10 times, according to my math.
We might have to play 14 on defense to compete with their receivers.
Dude, there's something else.
Yeah, that's the closest to an NFL team I've seen in a while, just because of the way they run their offense, and it's straight out of New Orleans. And I mean, these guys are lethal.
What's funny is the people who think like the best college team could beat the worst NFL team.
No.
The line for the Bengals versus the LSU Tigers would still be like 28, maybe more.
I don't think it'd be quite 28, but yeah, it'd be 24, I think.
How fun would that be to watch, though?
I mean, people would watch it. You can't say people wouldn't watch it.
I think you'd sell out a stadium if you did it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just got to think about that. The NFL takes the best players out of the best teams.
Which all of those LSU starters will probably all go to the league, but they how many will start in the league? Maybe half, if it's an insane turnout, and you're going to be playing against a team full of NFL starters.
Right. So it's also, you know, they're used to playing against NFL starters. It's almost as if like you put a MAC team in the Big Ten.
Right.
Or probably even worse than that. I don't know. It'd
probably be worse.
Yeah. A MAC team against Alabama or something like that. Yeah. Well, what would you put that spread at?
Something big. All right. So, talked a little bit about those games and what we thought.
I want to hear the Stephen A. Smith controversy.
I'm not going to be like Stephen A. I'm not going to be like Stephen A. because he gets a bit loud, obnoxious, annoying. It's why he's good at his job and he makes $10 million a year for ESPN, because he comes to work every day as one of the best people to bring controversial topics. I mean, he can make anything controversial. And people like, even though he's annoying, people still turn him on to listen to what he has.
I mean, we're in the content business, but we're not in the content business to make money. If you want clicks and you want views, you just got to say some controversial shit. I truly believe that all the talking heads believe like only half of what they're actually saying.
Not even.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Lauren about this. I was like, it must be weird to have that job at that level, because your job is basically, it doesn't matter what you think deep down off camera, it's what's gonna get people to watch this show.
Right.
And so you might think that LSU is gonna win by 15 points, but you have to go on the show and say, here's why the Clemson Tigers will dominate LSU. And it's just it would be a tough job to have. The reason we bring that up is because I don't usually bring the controversial stuff to the podcast. That's usually Drake's job. That's DK. All right. That's 4-5. And he's better at it than I am. He's a more controversial human than I am. We know that. Everyone that listens on a regular basis knows that. But
My mom was mad at me for saying b-hole, by the way. She was not thrilled at all that I said b-hole. Some of the fans liked it.
I'm sure there's a silent majority that hated it.
Yeah, most 98% hated it. There were 2% of our fans that were like, we want more bottom side talk from Drake. I am not the one who usually brings this stuff to the podcast, but it's the new year. It's the Wash Up Walk-On's resolution to give the fans what they want. And
it is.
Sometimes in indirect ways. One of the most asked for things when I asked for what people wanted to see and hear about in 2020 was they wanted us to talk about recruits. And yep. Like we've said, what do you got, Kevin?
I don't know shit about recruits, okay?
All right. And we recruit good guys, right? We think they're all good guys, but they might not be. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't followed recruiting since
you were a recruit.
Since I was a recruit. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so as we get into this, maybe we do I'll probably do more research and bring up more controversial or conversational topics about guys that we are bringing in, because we are kind of in that business. It's the off season. It's kind of what happens. It's not going to be our bread and butter here at the Wash Up Walk-Ons Incorporated LLC. I'm not really sure what our bread and butter is. Bread and butter might be our bread and butter.
How about you shut the fuck up and get to the topic? That's
bread
our bread
and butter. Sounds delicious right now.
Yeah, it sure does.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Deuce Hogan is the 2020 quarterback scholarship commit for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Excuse me. Every year, and this is generally how most programs do it, considering, you know, just the competition at the spot and how you can only play one quarterback and it's only going to be one guy for 2 to 3 years, each program is usually going to sign on scholarship one quarterback a year. Deuce Hogan is our guy. I don't know a whole lot about Deuce Hogan. I watched his highlight tape. He's got some impressive film.
Is that actually how we pronounce his first name, though? Or is there an alternate pronunciation to Deuce that,
it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen. And that's what we're going to get into. The reason that Deuce is a popular guy in the black and gold community is because in my eyes, and this is all my opinion, don't make this that whole thing where it's like, oh, the Wash Up Walk-Ons thing. Now, this is all Tyler Kluber, all right? This is all the Polecat's thoughts and opinions. So don't drag Kevin and Drake down with me. The reason he's very popular is because he has said all of the right things. He has helped recruit. There's a story which I love. I love so much this story. There's a story that when they were on a visit, an official visit, where they had a bunch of big-time guys in the room, it was one of those things where they were in the meeting room and the coaches were asking, I think it was a player panel where they had a few guys in there and a bunch of the top guys were asking questions, and there were still some people who had not committed yet, and Deuce stood up after the coaches walked out. It was just Deuce. I think T. Barnes was in there. So we could actually ask him about this if we get him on the podcast. But Deuce stood up and like threw out a recruiting spiel to the other guys as like the QB commit for the class, to get people to commit with him, come to Iowa, be a part of the family, join the swarm, all this stuff. Like he's leading the charge here.
That's good stuff. That's a great story.
Yeah, incredible story. What leadership by a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid in high school who's not even a part of the program yet to stand up in front of his peers, guys from other states that he doesn't know, to try and bring them with him for the same cause. Incredible. But, you know, Coach Hayden Fry, the legend, passes away, and he sends out a tweet about how, you know, he says all the right things there. He, you know, Coach Fry, you've impacted me in so many ways. He's from Texas, I believe. So, you know, all the right things. My problem, and I got a little bit, I've been back and forth on it because it's new age. It's a 17, 18-year-old kid. It's the further we go into the years, technology and social media becomes more and more of a thing. So it's different than when we came out of high school in 2012, 2013. Everybody's on Twitter now. He's had a lot to say, and he, I didn't know if it was about getting attention or not. And then yesterday, he sent out this tweet after he sent out a controversial response to a tweet that he then deleted after he started to get shit. I won't even talk about that one. He sends out this: Hawkeye Nation, I am going to be conducting a social experiment, and I need y'all's help. I am curious to see if we could get a follow train going. If you are a Hawkeye, like and retweet and help me get to 5K by the end of the day. And it just, it's like harmless, right? It's just like this harmless, like 17, 18-year-old. A ton of Hawkeye Nation replied, retweet, yes, like, yes, Commander. Like, they're all like, you know, all behind him on the charge. It's a harmless tweet just by some 17, 18-year-old kid. But from a guy that's been through the program, I know what kind of guys make it and what kind of guys don't. And I've seen what the guys make it, what kind of traits they have as people and how they conduct themselves and how they go about talking and communicating and behaving around others and what they value and what the guys who don't make it value as people. And this was an all about me tweet. This was a me before we tweet. And that's the only way that I could see it. It finally pushed me over the top and rubbed me the wrong way. I personally did not like it. And some of you are going to be upset. All right, because a lot of you are behind this guy on the Deuce Hogan train. He's our next guy. He's going to lead the charge. He's going to come in. He might take over this job as a true freshman and be our guy for the next 3-4 years. Go off to the NFL, be the best Hawkeye quarterback ever. And I know a lot of you are more reasonable than that, but a lot of you have gotten behind this kid. And I hope that he is our Joe Burrow. I hope this kid comes in and absolutely crushes. But the signs to me, Tyler Kluver, say that he's on the wrong path to start. And I don't like the, hey, retweet and follow me. I understand he's a 18-year-old kid, but I think he's coming in this semester. In about 3 weeks, he's going to be an Iowa Hawkeye football player, competing for a starting job, an open position.
Twitter doesn't matter.
So Twitter's no longer a thing. How many followers you have is no longer a thing. It does not matter. You are dog shit in the program. You are a freshman. The most common thing he's going to hear from Doyle and the strength coaches is recruiting is fucking over.
Yeah. Nobody's here to kiss your ass anymore. That shit's over. It's no longer a honeymoon. You know, nobody's got your meat on their grill ready to be served.
And I hope that Deuce comes in and kills Prowlers, kills conditioning, continues to lead this class and makes something of their class and takes the program to a whole new level. I hope every recruit that we have does that. But this lends itself to a tweet that was very similar when we were coming out of high school. Our man, Nick Szymanek, tweeted out a tweet that said, Rudock, Bethard, Sokol, I'm coming for your job.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That one was way worse than Deuce Hogan's. Deuce Hogan's just seems a little bit too narcissistic for me. I'd rather the kid just shuts up and acts or like and balls out and then is like, hey, man, follow me because I'm the GOAT rather right. than like, hey, I'm in high school. I haven't done anything at Iowa yet. I don't even know if I can play in college yet, but follow me because I think I'm sweet.
And I agree. Shimonek's was way worse. Again, on a mostly surface level, and this is just me being controversial for content's sake, it might be nothing. It may be nothing. But, Kevin, you more than anybody, out of anyone I know, you're the most wee guy I know. You could give a fuck about your personal success. You were the most team guy that I've ever met.
Seriously, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And, you know, and there's a bunch of other guys that are in that boat. Kind of goes with being a savage back. It's kind of the nature of the
being a walk-on.
It goes a little bit with being a walk-on. I might not get your full opinion out of this because you don't want to be as controversial as me and take the heat, but we've seen guys that are, hey, follow me, retweet so I can get more followers. Like, how do you feel about this? And then I'm gonna go into some stats quarterback wise.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a cringy tweet.
it's cringy.
I mean, just from a completely separate from football perspective, anybody who just like is out there asking for followers, I think that's, you know, fucking weird.
Not to mention covering it up and calling it a social experiment. Fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson or something.
That's so, the part that got me. It's like, it's not a social experiment, bud. You're just begging for followers.
I mean, like, you guys aren't wrong there. But yeah, if we just take the situation out of what we're actually looking at and just look at a random person asking for followers, I think that's just weird. But you know, the thing about it is where we're at in social media with these days and how addictive it is and it really is toxic what social media has become these days. And
it's horrible.
And he's part of that, you know, and we're basically in the same generation. I think it's even worse with kids younger than us. How obsessed we are with it and how, you know, how it's all about followers, likes, comments, all that stuff, to look cool and all that stuff. He's a 17-18-year-old kid, like you said.
And before you move on, here's what I have to say about that. Yes, he is a 17-18-year-old kid. Here's the issue. Is anymore, when you're 17-18 years old and you walk into a program at semester, you're now an Iowa football player. It doesn't matter that you're 17 or 18. You're competing for the job, and you're creating your resume from day one. His resume at Iowa doesn't fucking matter. He's still going to be 17 or 18 in 3 weeks. But his resume starts. And here's – I'll let you finish before I go into my final thoughts about it.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just saying, like, it's a 17, 18-year-old kid asking for followers. People are really obsessed with followers these days. It's, you know, it's just the age that we live in, and I hate it. To say that the kid won't make it, I think, is a little bit of a stretch.
And that's not what he
probably is asking for just like attention, because I mean, you give a 17 year old kid that much attention, he's just going to want more and more and more, just like any other 17 year old kid. Probably.
Right.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say he won't make it. It's, but I do know what you're talking about with like the guys who like kind of like said that stuff, like, hey, I need more followers, like shout me out so I get more followers. Like, are you worried about the right things? Who knows? But you know, again, I'm going to go back to, he's a 17, 18 year old kid.
I am too.
We were all fucking dumb motherfuckers when we were 17, 18 year old.
The dumbest. You are looking directly at the dumbest.
So and guess I mean, what? Only one of us has gotten any smarter, and it's Kevin.
So you guys both said it. One thing the coaches do a great job is kind of de-recruiting you once you get into the into the complex, like making sure you know that your shit stinks again. All right, you you don't walk on clouds. It's time to go to work type thing. So I do think, you know, you get them in the complex and get them in the culture and get them around guys that are, you know, going to, you know, straighten the young guys out, which is what, you know, the older guys always have to do is like, hey, none of that shit matters anymore. Your followers don't matter. You can't tweet anyways. Don't give a shit. It's time to go to work. So yep. Yeah, it's a cringy tweet. That's the only thing I really can say about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for putting your input into that. Here, my biggest thing is, and it's not, this isn't a topic that I brought up to say that I'm here to stamp my approval on a lock and seal that I stand here today and think that Deuce Hogan will never, ever play, and that's my prediction. I'm saying that is an extreme possibility, a more likely possibility statistically than the chance that he succeeds and becomes the kind of quarterback that most people want to see him become in Iowa, and I'll back that up with some statistics right here for you. So I went back and did a little research. This is probably the best research I've ever done in 77 episodes. All right. Over this decade, you know, very fitting that we just started a new decade here in 2020. Over this decade, we had, let's call it, four quarterbacks that turned out how you would want a quarterback to turn out. All right. And that's very subjective. You can decide how you want to see that or not. Obviously, we've talked about the Nate Stanley haters, and there was CJ Beathard haters, and there was,
I mean, if you're starting quarterback, you're going to have haters. The second,
you're going to have
the most popular guy on the team is the backup quarterback.
Right. And so we're going to get into that here. So I went back and found the quarterback commit on scholarship for every class from 09 until this year. And you would be amazed if you went back. A lot of these guys had the same hype as Hogan did coming in. Everybody thinks that every year we got the next quarterback. We get behind this guy and we think, oh shit, he's our answer. Like, he's going to be whoever. Compare him to the best quarterback that's currently in college football. He's going to be the guy that gets us to that point. Here's the names that are on that list. And I don't know for sure about 09, because in 09, on the 11 roster, we had some juniors. We had James Vandenberg, who was our quarterback for 20 after Stanzi. Basically, this is post-Stanzi era. 2011, 2012. We had a guy named John Winkie. I don't know if he was a scholarship quarterback. We had Vandenberg. In 2010, the class of 2010, Iowa signed A.J. Derby as its scholarship QB.
He ended up being a pretty good tight end.
Damn good tight end. Went to the league.
He's played in the league for a while.
Didn't turn out at QB. All right. Now, granted, still made something pretty good out of his career. Never played I don't think he ever played a snap at QB for Iowa. 2011, Jake Rudock was the scholarship QB that came to Iowa in the 2011 class.
Played a couple of years, threw about 700 out routes, and got on out.
I don't think that Rudock is above the line of how you would want a quarterback to turn out.
I would agree. If I had to choose between Rudock and Nate Stanley, I'd choose Nate Stanley twice and kill Rudock.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Jesus. Okay.
I don't hate him. It's just that's where we're at.
Rudock had a lot of hype. A lot of hype. 2012 recruits at quarterback. We got CJ Beathard. Ding ding ding. That's a winner.
That's the winner, man. That's the golden goat.
And we got Cody Sokol. All right. A lot of people, now that was in an attempt to, we were trying to find a guy. Sokol was a JUCO transfer. Wasn't he a JUCO transfer?
Yeah. And he also turned out to be a damn good quarterback for Louisiana Tech.
Turned out to be a great quarterback, but here's the issue. It all comes back to, there's a bunch of guys at one school competing for a spot. There's only one spot. And so Sokol never turns out as a Hawkeye quarterback. So now in three years, you've got Vandenberg and Beathard as guys who are probably what you want. And you got guys like Derby, Rudock, and Sokol. It's 3-2 already of guys who have not turned out to guys who have. All right. Next year, the 2013 class. Some would say the worst recruiting class star-wise in Iowa, in Iowa history.
That's it. Was absolutely the worst star class in history, but we've already talked about it. It's the fucking toughest, so it's whatever. Pat Anger, you can try and refute that all you want. I don't care because everybody on this podcast except for Kluber has better hair than you, and you're old and your joints hurt, and I think I'll win the fist fight. So your opinion is null and void.
All right. Well, regardless, the leader and quarterback commit of that 2013 class, Nick Szymanek, never heard a word, never saw a snap from our boy Nick. Great guy. Went on and played at, Texas Tech?
Yep.
Did pretty well at Texas
Tech. Dude, Nick Szymanek has had a pretty good life success story, dude.
Yeah.
Because he was successful as hell in high school, got a Division I scholarship, ended up transferring, but still got all his school paid for, still got to start, had some good numbers.
He got picked up by
very good friends,
right,
with Patrick Mahomes, and now trains professional athletes in Southern California. So my guy Nick Szymanek has a pretty good success story, no doubt.
I thought he got picked up by someone. Did he get cut?
Yeah, he was in San Diego for a training camp, but that was it.
So, killing it in life, never will be known as a Hawkeye quarterback. All right, point. All right, that's my point. So now you've got Derby, Rudock, Sokol, Szymanek. All right, you've got Vandenberg and Beathard as winners. Next year, another incredible guy. Class of 2014 quarterback commit, Tyler Wiegers.
I miss Wiegs. Wiegs is an awesome
one of my
kid.
Favorite all-time teammates.
Fantastic human being, great teammate, hard worker, smart,
really,
smart ass,
really
dude.
Smart dude. Yeah,
transfer,
humble as
went
hell.
On, went on to Eastern Michigan, had success,
and he actually gave Nate a really good run for his money for our senior season.
I predicted that Tyler Wiegers would be the starter coming out of that camp. I personally thought that Wiegers had a much better camp. It was just that Nate was still younger with less mental reps and things like that and much more natural talent. And so, you know, that's why Brian went with him, and we see what happened. And I was wrong. Brian was right. Fucking shocker.
Yeah. Everyone knew that Nate had the potential to be what he became. And you know, kudos to him for showing out. But yeah, Weir is awesome, dude.
Amazing guy. But as far as a quarterback, an Iowa quarterback, hit or miss, another miss. 2015 quarterback commits. Now this one gets there's a little bit of leeway here. You have these guys are all incredible guys. Ryan Boyle, love the kid, and Drew Cook. Now, some would say he was recruited to switch positions from the jump, but both incredible high school quarterbacks, Cook moved positions.
I don't know if y'all watched Ryan Boyle play in high school, but boy, he was filthy. He couldn't be stopped.
I played against him.
Okay, there's that answer.
And
handsome motherfucker, too.
Just beautiful man. I'd kiss him on the mouth. 0 for 2. Hawkeye quarterbacks, 0 for 2. All right. We're about 3-4 years down the line now from CJ Beathard. Your 2016 quarterback commit, Big Dick Nate. There you go.
And when you recruit, we already talked about this, but when you recruit a quarterback that has a 9-pound hammer between his legs, you're just not going to miss.
And a rocket launcher attached to his torso.
He has a Fortnite rocket launcher attached to his shoulder labrum. So we're now to 2016. There are I'm not even counting John Winkie because I don't really know, and I'm not sure what recruiting class Vandenberg was in. I'm just going to call him the 09 class since he was the quarterback for 11 and 12. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys from 09 to 16, 3 out of 10 Hawkeye quarterbacks.
That turned out the way that we really wanted them to.
That turned out the way you wanted to.
So there's recruiting, folks. We all have a ton of respect for our coaching staff. It's been the same head coach and a lot of the same upper coaching staff, or not a lot of the same, but some of the same upper coaching staff for that whole entire time period. And they're batting 30%, kind of like the Hall of Fame hitters in the MLB. So like, as perfect as you think these guys are, they're 17-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids when they get recruited, and the coaches are having to take a guess at who's going to be able to turn into the dog when they turn into a man type thing. And as we're seeing, you strike out sometimes.
And here's my overall point to this.
I would add in that this is not, you know, exclusive to quarterbacks. You can go down.
No,
not at all. I was just saying recruiting in general.
I mean, yeah, if you want to look at the 2013 DB class, me and Buddha were the only ones that graduated from the program.
No one would have guessed.
Walk-ons and scholarship. There's like seven of us. It was me and Buddha.
I know. I thought our defensive back class was decent when we came in. Like, I saw the guys. I thought they were decent dudes, and I thought they were good players.
It's your fault for making Malik quit.
I did make Malik quit. I hit him as hard as I've ever hit any human being in my life in the spring game in Kinnick, and his career ended about a week later.
Shout out Malik, though. He went and made a career somewhere else.
I love Ruck, man. I miss
another,
him, too.
This all brings me back to my point is nowadays you got guys who are talented. All of those guys I just mentioned, Sokol Rudock goes and plays for Michigan. Sokol goes and plays for La Tech. Shimonek goes and plays for Texas Tech. Uyghurs goes and plays for Eastern Michigan. Boyle goes and plays for Eastern Illinois. All of these guys can play.
Illinois State. Indiana State.
The issue is there's one quarterback per college.
And there's also an issue that there's a really high standard to be one of the best at Iowa. It's a really high standard to be CJ or Nate, dude. These guys are tremendous quarterbacks.
And here's what you're looking at is you now have on the roster Peyton Mansell, the 2017 quarterback commit on scholarship. Spencer Petras, the 2018 quarterback commit on scholarship. Last year's Alex Padilla, the 2019 quarterback commit on scholarship, and now coming in 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, Deuce Hogan. You're going to have four scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
None of them with any notable game experience.
Odds are, first of all, and here's why I think that there's a strong chance in the Polcat, Tyler Kluver's opinion, not the wash-up walk-on, not Drake Kulik, not Kevin Ward's idea. This is all me, that I don't think Deuce will be the guy is because it's about timing. He's coming in at a spot where Spencer
I don't know. I think he's coming in with the absolute best opportunity he could ever come into. I really do. Because he's coming in early to spring, and he's going to get some reps in spring. And if he does well and he earns some respect in the summer, especially if he leads that freshman group well in the summer, I mean, camp's wide open, dude. They don't give a fuck who you are. They just want to have the best starting quarterback. This dude has the best opportunity he could ever have.
You're right, but I find it like you have to be something special.
Special, dude. You have to be special
at quarterback for Kirk Ferentz.
But see, Nate Stanley would have done it. If CJ wasn't there, it would have been Nate Stanley starting as a freshman, and we just would have ran with him.
But
not day one. Maybe
not day one. No. But if Nate would have came through in spring and then all camp, and he was,
here's the thing.
You know, I think he would have been the man.
But you're also talking about Nate. We just said has to take a special person.
But what I am saying is that there's an opportunity in this kid. If there was ever the best opportunity for him, it's right now. He did hit this pot of gold.
Here's why I refute that is because we don't know, and we don't have sources. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Someone, probably Spencer Petras is the word from Iowa City, from reporters. He's got a pretty good handle, a lot of experience, sat behind Nate for 2 years now. He's probably going to be the guy come fall. Unless something happens, I think Spencer's the guy.
And what I've heard is that Spencer is honestly a beast.
I've heard this as well. And so what happens now? Well, Spencer, he redshirted. He's got 3 years left. Okay? Say Spencer starts this year. All right? And say he does even just good. All right? Even just good as a Hawkeye quarterback in his first year. All right, he probably will start a second year. And if he starts a second year, then he's probably going to finish his career. He'll be a three-year quarterback for Iowa. Yes, there's a chance that there's a Rudock situation where it's just like, damn, this isn't working. We got to put in Padilla or Deuce or somebody. But say he just ends up being the three-year QB. Is Deuce Hogan with the, hey, everyone retweet and follow me, potential attitude, just saying potentially, is he going to want to sit for 3 years after all the hype he just got? Is he had other offers. Or is he going to be the Uyghurs? Is he going to be a Boyle? And is he just going to transfer out and go find another spot to play earlier? Because that's what kids want. They want to go be the 3-4 year quarterback somewhere. I don't know. That's my Stephen A. bit.
I don't know, but we just did a pretty good in-depth analysis on the Iowa quarterback history. I feel like that's some pretty good podcast content.
It is, I just find it fascinating that we spent this much time talking about a tweet.
No, we more went talking about the history of Iowa quarterbacks in the past.
Yeah, but
it's
years. It all stemmed from a tweet. So
it
mean,
stemmed from a tweet.
My final take on this is it's a tweet. Let's try not to read too much into it, but it's a cringy tweet.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't care if you're.
I wish
Elon,
the kid would just put his phone down.
I don't care if you're Elon Musk or you just started up Twitter yesterday. Going around asking for followers is kind of cringy, dude. People will follow you if you want, if they want to follow you.
Yeah, here's my thing. You're a junior in the program, Kevin. You're a junior Hawkeye linebacker. You're junior at Iowa, Kevin Ward again.
2016, good year.
And you're not a big Twitter guy. You don't, like you said, you don't follow the recruits. But you hear this new quarterback commit from Texas just tweeted out asking for followers, and he's coming in a couple weeks, and you're about to start conditioning. As an older guy in the program, what's that impression about? What's the impression there?
I'll give you a real life program. Summer 2013, Nick Shimnick calls out his teammates who we are currently working out with. Me and Drake were there that summer.
I was shook, dude. I couldn't believe it.
The talk around the locker room was like, who the fuck is this kid to call out guys who are here? His teammates. These are going to be his teammates. Who the fuck is this guy?
And we said it's different, but, you know, just that kind of mentality.
It's a different tweet, yeah. To your imaginary scenario, be like, okay, I mean, this
kid's got something coming.
It's going to be wake-up time here in a couple weeks.
It's going to be a wake-up time in 2.5 weeks. We'll see. I hope the kid, again, to finish this off, I hope the kid absolutely dominates. He's one of the special ones. I hope we've got a Nate Stanley, a CJ Beathard sitting in the wings. I hope he comes in and starts slinging it all over. And I hope he is a successful Hawkeye and just has one of the best careers.
What I really hope is that now talking about Nate Stanley, just on my mind, that he comes on the podcast. That's what I hope.
Nate's going to come on the podcast. And we're going to try to get Brady Ross here on Sunday for Monday's episode.
I was just playing Minecraft with Brady for like 5 hours yesterday. It was awesome.
By the way, before we leave, this has been way longer than I thought it was going to go. The fans are getting way more than they're paying for. They wanted us to talk about the 3 quarterback sneaks in a row that we forgot to mention at the Holiday Bowl.
I just want to make it known that a 10-yard quarterback sneak can't happen unless your quarterback is just a fucking animal. So we'll leave it at
and
that.
And you have
for me.
Brian Ferentz calling the plays.
And you have Brady Ross's face mask 6 inches up your butthole.
Hey, and I just kind of want to take a narcissistic moment, a Deuce Hogan moment, to ask for my credit for the butt humping of the quarterbacks. I think I really started that in Kinnick against Michigan. Our players hadn't really been big into grabbing a hold of the quarterback and humping him across the line, but I kind of showed the world that it worked when I got CJ across the line on that 4th-and-1 against Michigan. So just kind of looking for a little credit there on the humping of the quarterbacks.
Okay, well, this podcast is a guy.
Anyway, yes, 3 quarterback sneaks in a row. Awesome. I was pitching a tent with how excited I was to see that. I want them so badly to do it 4 in a row for the touchdown.
For a touchdown.
But
we'll take it.
We'll take the other touchdown, I guess.
Yeah. Again, I hope this doesn't turn into the whole Oliver Martin situation where we got a bunch of backlash for that. I was simply pointing out the statistics, giving you guys a rundown of the last decade of quarterbacks and how it pans out.
I think somebody else is jealous about all the Hawkeye love that he's getting on Twitter.
Yeah, and his name is Drake Kulik, because I think this guy, Deuce Hogan, who hasn't played a single snap yet for the Iowa football Hawkeyes, I think this guy has more followers than me. And I played 5 years and said some funny shit, so I'm just kind of dumbfounded here. But
hey, maybe you should ask for some followers.
Nope, I'm not asking for followers, boys. I'm just going to keep saying things about b-holes, and if people think it's funny, then maybe they'll follow me.
Hey, Drake, I'll retweet you if you retweet me.
Done.
That's it. way too long today. Hope you guys enjoy it. Have a happy 2020.
Hey, and have fun watching football out there, man. There's some good football left. There's only a couple of weeks left of college football. Enjoy every last bit of it, because August is going to be a hell of a long ways away once it's all over.
And I'm about to go eat brunch with a bunch of pancakes. So on that note, I don't care about y'all anymore. I got better things to do.
Okay. Well, so that whole tweet I had about not running this podcast into the ground, Drake is the number one thing that is just leading that charge.
Leading what charge, Kluver? I didn't hear that part.
Leading the charge into running this podcast into the ground.
Oh, dude. Hey, we're a train. So, you know, the movie when Spider-Man, right? Had to stop that train.
Sure.
When it was a runaway. You two are the Spider-Man of this podcast, and I'm the runaway train. And it's up to you guys to keep it on the rails. I take no part in keeping the train on the tracks. So
joke's on you, because I'm trying to burn this motherfucker down.
Burn it down.
Well, hearts don't have stars, bitches. That's it. Peace.
Bucks by a million.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.